Good afternoon. I'd like to start out by acknowledging my colleagues on this project, as well as our funder, which is the Healthy Foods, Healthy Lives Institute at the University of Minnesota. I have no relationships to disclose. So the adoption of healthy food policies and practices in healthcare systems can promote health and perhaps more distally reduce obesity and reduce chronic diseases. These changes that occur at the institutional level may force changes at a broader level, such as regional food systems, and then maybe ultimately influence agricultural policy. For this study, both an economic and behavioral framework was used to evaluate consumer demand for food based on various pricing and labeling schemes that tried to tease out different values associated with food, such as organic, local and sustainably produced foods, and healthy foods. And I'll get more into our methods in a couple of slides. So what do we know about the provision of information and how that translates into behavior? Certainly, there have been mixed results from interventions that have just aimed at increasing consumers' knowledge about food. And yesterday, if any of you were at the presentations related to the changes in labeling laws in Seattle and New York City and Philadelphia and Portland, Oregon, saw that there was a larger effect on knowledge and awareness, followed by a smaller effect on use of that information, and then ultimately an even smaller effect on calories consumed. We do know, however, that successful interventions include oftentimes environmental changes and policy changes that help make the healthy choice the default choice, such as changing food supply and variety, the provision of nutritional information at that point of selection and sale, and then policies and incentives to help create that broader environment in which a person can just act in a healthy manner. We've also known that pricing strategies can be successful in creating that environment where the default behavior is going to be the healthiest behavior, especially when we've looked at studies that have lowered the cost of healthier foods and the consequent change in behavior in purchasing those foods. But I must say here that in many cases, food that's unhealthy starts out being cheaper than more nutritious alternatives, but it doesn't reflect the true cost of the price and true cost of the food when you think about long-term treatment for things like obesity and other chronic diseases. So the goal of our study was to investigate whether food selection behavior changed as a result of changes in food prices, and also changes in labeling, where we labeled foods as either organic, local, or healthy, or a combination of one or more of these things. We were in an institution setting, so we kind of had a captive audience here. We were looking at the staff, who constitute about 80% of the business of a hospital cafeteria, and these staff generate $90,000 per month for the hospital. To tell you a little bit more about the hospital, we are working with St. Luke's Hospital in Duluth, Minnesota. It's a 267-bed regional trauma center. It is five buildings, so four clinic buildings and a hospital in a four-block area. It serves a 17-county region over three states. There are about 2,200 employees at the facility, 12,500 admissions, 159,000 outpatient registrations, and over 400,000 clinic visits. So this chart shows you the food items that we had under study, reflecting some of the values that we were interested in. So we had bison burger, and that reflected healthy. It's a leaner source of protein when compared to hamburger. It is also produced locally and sustainably, and it is organic. Our comparison food was hamburger, which was meat that came from a distributor, probably produced in some sort of CAFO operation, I don't know. Certainly not organic or like local. To look at the value of healthy, we looked at grilled chicken and sales in comparison to an unhealthy alternative, breaded chicken. Organic yogurt versus non-organic yogurt, same kind of health information on both of those, but just trying to tease out the organic. And then a cookie, and obviously in public health, we're not often going to be interested in lowering the price of cookies, but here we were able to tease out the organic, local, and sustainably produced cookie versus a mass-produced and shipped from a warehouse cookie. And so for that reason, we used those two things as comparisons. We were interested in finding things that already were in the hospital environment that people were purchasing regularly anyhow, that also had something we could compare to look at differences. And so for that reason, we were selecting these foods. And so this kind of gives you the pricing scheme that we used. And for some reason, it looks a little bit hard to see, so I'll explain it. But what we did was we had 6 3-week study periods. So we started out with a baseline where everything was just as it was, and we looked at sales as an aggregate. From there, we essentially taxed the unhealthy or non-organic or non-local food and looked at just that price increase. And then we reverted back to baseline for for the unhealthy food, and we subsidized the corresponding healthy or organic or local food. And then in the fourth wave of the study, we did a simultaneous price increase and price decrease, followed that with labels. So we did some labeling around these values to tease out whether there was an added effect of the label on price. And then finally, we returned to baseline. So in this way, we could kind of see all different scenarios and how they played out in terms of sales. And so this is an example of some of our labels. Labels included nutritional information, maps of where the food was produced, labels related to organic or non-organic, and then educational messages depending on the value attached to those food items under study. So this kind of gives you a sample of kind of our color schemes and what we were looking at. We had our positively Third Street cookies made with organic ingredients in a bakery just down the street, essentially, and then grilled chicken as a healthy alternative and a leaner source of protein compared to the breaded chicken. And we tried to match things where people would be likely to substitute one for the other item in terms of a natural food selection environment. You know, people coming in, if they're feeling like chicken, then they're maybe making that choice between the breaded chicken and grilled chicken. Here's another example of our bison. We had the photograph. This is the farmer who raises the buffalo, and you know, about 30 miles away from the hospital that we're looking at. And then this is an example of the nutritional label that we posted right at the point of purchase. Looks a lot like the nutrition facts label, but a modified and shortened version of it, where we're looking at calories, fat, saturated fat, cholesterol, sodium, and protein. And here's an example of one of the maps we used, and this is for the Otis Spunkmeyer cookie, where we wrote, and think about it, in the environment, this was put next to that positively Third Street cookie made with local organic ingredients just down the street, and then here you have your cookie that was manufactured in California, Texas, Pennsylvania, and South Carolina with non-organic ingredients and transported to Duluth, and so we have the little map with everything converging where we were. And so what we found, and we did look at, to control for natural variation in daily sales, we looked at the quantity of each item sold as a percentage of total quantity of items sold in each of those three-week periods. And what we found was that a 20% price subsidy for the bison burgers resulted in a 26% increase in sales, whereas the tax on hamburgers with the subsidy on bison resulted in a decrease of hamburgers sold by 20% and a 74% increase in bison sales. Adding the labeling and educational messages to that resulted in almost a 160% increase in bison sold, indicating that consumers are pretty responsive to a price decrease, but even more responsive to a price decrease with the subsequent price increase and food labels and messaging. Looking at just the yogurt sales, or the organic yogurt sold increased by 31.5% after the tax and subsidy together, while non-organic yogurt fell by 5.7%. Adding the label changes to that, you see a little bit bigger increases in the organic sold, yogurt sold, and slightly bigger decreases in non-organic yogurt sold. Cookie sales, a 20% tax on the non-organic, non-local cookie increased the quantity sold by 3.4%, which is not exactly what we were expecting, but that's what we found. But in comparison, the organic local cookie increased by 208%, possibly due to lowering the price on it. And then when both the tax and subsidy were used together, there was kind of a different picture. There was a decline in sales of the non-local cookie by 10% and an increase in sales of 32% of the local organic cookie. To look at it all graphically, we can look at this graph right here, where the dark green bars represent the results when we did the simultaneous price increase and price decrease, and the light green bars include the labeling on that. And from what we found for the bison and certainly the yogurt, those behaved in the manner we were thinking that they would behave, where there was an increase in the value-added food with the price differential, but then that magnitude was greater with the labeling. The grilled chicken versus the breaded chicken totally did not do anything as we expected it would be, and our results really conflict, and we're still trying to make sense of that. Kind of the working hypothesis in our study group is that the grilled chicken competed with the bison burger, and that people going to the grill actually then chose the bison burger over either chicken item. And so that's kind of our leading theory on what happened there. And then certainly with the cookie, you see that really what drove the increase in sales was the price, moreover, than the labeling. Perhaps there some of the nutritional labels on other food items got people thinking about what was in their cookie in terms of calories, and perhaps that could have influenced what we saw there. But certainly for the bison and the yogurt, it seems like price mattered, as did the labeling. So again, there appears to be some substantial price sensitivity for the value of organic, local, and healthier, and that was the bison food item that had the all three, with stronger quantity changes when food labels were added. Certainly food labeling at the point of purchase could be used in conjunction with taxes and subsidies to change purchasing behavior toward organic, local, and healthier food items. And certainly these things happening at an institutional level help create broader change. And our next step is to analyze daily sales and food selection of individual employees, controlling for relevant covariates from an employee survey data. We were lucky enough to be able to look at employee food purchases because all purchases are made through a employee swipe card with auto deduction from payroll. And so we have linked purchases by individual coupled with a survey we did, so we can look at what possible demographic factors may influence purchase in addition to price and labeling. Okay. And so with that, I'll turn it over to you. Are there any questions? Yes.
Did you analyze if the increased revenue, how much it would have covered of the subsidized amount? Did you compare the subsidized amount with the...
I don't have it here with me, but we did, I can look at that, yeah, to see. If you go back to look at what kind of the difference was, we actually, for bison burger, because we decided that 20%, we wanted to stick with the 20% tax or the 20% subsidy, that made bison burger actually cheaper than the hamburger, and so I think that probably did offset.
But if you increase sales by 26%, how much revenue did that generate that might have offset the subsidy?
I'd have to go look. I'd have to go look. I can get your card after, and we can touch base. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, perhaps it could have. I think you might not have seen that sort of value attached to things like organic and local that you did with the more, educated population. But then also at the hospital, we do have information on demographics. There is a large number of persons at the hospital who do have lower educational levels, support staff, and it's not just we're looking at medical staff. Yeah. At this point, we looked at aggregate sales, but we had about 500 employees who filled out the survey. All right, well, thank you again.